Well, we just have one more week after this left in our series of emotional healthy spirituality. And today I want to address the rhythms in our life, looking at the importance of Sabbath and then something called the daily office. Have you ever been offered a gift and said, no thanks? Anybody ever done that? Probably, oh yeah, Evelyn has. We'll have to ask her why. Sabbath is a gift, but how many of us say, no thanks, I don't need it? If you look at the Ten Commandments, the one regarding Sabbath is one that we just tend to take for granted and ignore. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 5, 12 to 15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord our God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys and other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day. A phrase that's repeated here in Deuteronomy is, remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. Historian Thomas Cahill tells us that up until this point in history, no civilization had ever given ordinary people a regular day off. Sabbath was a unique and unprecedented gift. It reminded the Israelites that they were no longer slaves, that their lives were no longer determined by making bricks. They were free. And it was a reminder of God working in their lives and giving him thanks. Dallas Willard noted, when we do not remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, we fail to trust in the sovereignty of God. We believe the lie that we must keep going, keep accomplishing, keep adding, keep refining, and keep honing this or that. We have far too much to do to stop for a whole 24-hour period. We put our work above worship and live enslaved, though we are free. Sabbath is an enormous statement of our value, that we are not slaves, but we are free. It's grace, that we are created for a love relationship with God. All throughout the Old Testament, God repeats the Sabbath commandment, and it was a challenge for them to adhere to. So the Jewish rabbis, in wanting to help people, follow the Sabbath, well, they devised a whole host of rules. They probably meant well, but it kind of went sideways and missed the whole point. And Jesus challenged the religious leaders how they were just getting this wrong. In Mark 2:27, Jesus says, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath." So what does that mean for us today? I really like Pete Cesaro's description of Sabbath as a snow day. Now, I know most of us got pretty frustrated with all the snow we had this last winter, but maybe think of it from a child's perspective. School's canceled. It's a day off. You can just do what you want, a day to play. There was a great picture, and I actually showed this, I think, to you when we were in the book of John, about this day in Athens, and it had a picture of the Parthenon in the background and then this snowman in the front. And Athens had had such a tremendous snowfall that the Greek government declared a holiday. It was a day to play. Sabbath is the gift of a day where you don't have any obligations, pressures, or responsibilities. You know how many of us look forward to vacation, a time to just get away and get some kind of break? Well, God offers us a break every week. 52 snow days a year. There are three qualities I think we need to keep in mind as to what Sabbath involves: stopping, delighting, and contemplating, or you could put in the word worshiping. So first, stop. It's a day to cease from work, to rest. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word that means to cease, to stop working. It's not just, you know, a day off to run around and do errands or to catch up on household responsibilities, but it's kind of stepping off that treadmill, seeing that our value is in God alone, not in any kind of performance, and just resting in Him. And we shouldn't be legalistic about this. What may be rest for me? Not rest for you. You need to ask, what kind of activities bring you rest? What replenishes you? Well, maybe it's taking a nap. I do like to do that on Sunday afternoons. Going for a long walk. Maybe going for a long drive. Sitting by the ocean. Reading a book. Or maybe it's playing a game as a family. As we stop and rest, we quiet our minds and find we can listen to God. Second, it's delight. Paying attention to God's amazing gifts and just delighting in Him. It's savoring food, breathing deeply, enjoying conversations with friends, being thankful. Marva Dawn shares, every Sunday I enjoyed worship and Bible studies, ate different foods that I ate during the rest of the week, and engaged in relaxing and creative activities. Sometimes I played the organ for worship, went to the beach or swimming pool, took long walks, or played in the parks in the afternoon with my friends or by myself. Marva's comment about how she ate different foods, you know, that than she ate the rest of the week. What a great idea. You know, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. This is a day to enjoy. As we consider the season of Lent, I think it's very interesting that Lent is a 40-day period, not counting Sundays. Sunday is not the day to fast, not the day to give up something, but it's a day for delight. And again, we shouldn't be legalistic about this. Remember, it's a gift. And then lastly, contemplate or worship. The focus of Sabbath is to reflect on the love of God, being acutely aware of His presence, worshiping Him. Marva ends her description of Sabbath saying, most of all, Sunday was a day for enjoying God's presence. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Eugene Peterson in The Message paraphrases this as, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. It's being still, stopping long enough to create space for God to enter. When we keep the Sabbath, God restores us and there is a renewal of our inner being. We are missing out on a huge blessing when we neglect this gift. A challenge to you, and I admit to me, is to receive this gift. Establishing a weekly rhythm where we stop, we delight, we worship. The next rhythm I want to consider is what Cicero calls the daily office. And the word office comes from the Latin word opus, meaning work. It makes a distinction that my work is to seek God. It's taking time throughout the day to seek God. A rhythm of stopping several times a day just to focus on Him. And to consider this, let's look at the text that was read from Daniel 6. When Daniel was around 17 to 20 years old, he was forced to leave his homeland in Israel. The Babylonian army had come in, the temple was destroyed, the place was just totally leveled. People were killed, and some of them were captured. Well, Daniel and three of his friends were captured and selected and taken away back to Babylon. There, they were compelled to learn Babylonian ways in preparation that they would then serve in the king's palace. Their names were even changed, wanting to make them more Babylonian. It must have been so difficult as they were forced to work for the good of a nation that had oppressed them. But Daniel and his friends, they remained steadfast in their faith and in their commitment to God. And Daniel, as was read, became one of the advisors to the king. And because of this rapid rise in position and favor with King Darius, there were those who were jealous and envious, and they wanted to get rid of him, so they devised this plot against him. Well, they couldn't find anything in his behavior or his character to undermine his position, so they resorted to framing him. And they had the king make this decree that if anyone would bow down, had to bow down to the king, and if they bowed down to any other god, well, they were going to then be thrown into the lion's den. Well, you've probably heard many stories and messages about Daniel in the lion's den. And the story back in chapter 3 of his friends who were thrown into a fiery furnace. These are remarkable stories of the power of God. But this morning, I'm not going to focus on the lion's den, but rather what came before this event, considering the rhythm that we see in Daniel's life. For here we get a glimpse of his actions and the outcome. Daniel had a practice of stopping 3 times a day to pray. Verse 10 says, 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. It was his custom, as it says in some translations. It was a regular rhythm in his life. It was just part of what he did every day. The rhythm in Daniel's life enabled him to retain his faith in the midst of a culture that was just trying to change him. As he was taken into exile in Babylon, this commitment then helped him orient his life around God and resist the power of Babylon. He lived a life of integrity, and he trusted in God in the midst of adversity. Daniel, I'm sure, was quite busy, lots of pressures and responsibilities, but he stopped to keep God present and forefront in his life. We read about this kind of rhythm in other places in Scripture. Psalm 55:17 says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. David wrote in Psalm 119:16, 7 times a day, I praise you. In Psalm 92:1-2, it says, it's good to praise the Lord, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. We just consider the importance of Sabbath, one day a week, to rest, delight, contemplate. But we need more than just one day to stay connected to God. I heard a comment recently about how we leak. What a great image. We need to constantly be renewing our focus because it just leaks out. Constantly connecting with God. Think of how we need nourishment for our bodies. We don't just, you know, eat once a week and then, yeah, okay, that's good, I'm done. No, we need daily nourishment to sustain us. We live in a culture that basically wants to make us Babylonians, to adjust our way of thinking, our way of being, our decisions. It's the way we view the world. Unless we daily focus on God, we can easily succumb to this kind of Babylonian mentality. When Daniel hears the decree of this devised plan to get rid of him, what does he do? Fuss, fume, stew and anxiety? No, he goes to his room and he prays. This regular habit of prayer sustained him. It kept his focus and it deepened his trust. I think it seems like for so many of us, you know, there's a lot of stress and anxiety that just defines so much of our lives. But what does God say to us? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are to be still, to stop, to pause, to slow down our lives each day, to seek God, to meet with him, to connect with him, not to get from him, but just to be with him as a person. This enables us to keep our eyes on him, not the troubles at hand, and experience his peace. Christians throughout history have found it helpful to stop and pray during the day at various intervals. We see Jesus doing this, regularly stopping to pray. In the early church, they had this habit of to keep on praying as part of their rhythm. In the book of Acts, we see how the believers were very intentional about their relationship with Jesus. This daily office is the work that we need to do each day. Our first work in life is to seek God, connecting with him. It's learning to pause several times a day, letting it all go, praying, giving thanks. The daily office orders our day, and it can help provide a structure and spiritual discipline so that we focus on what is important. And again, this doesn't have to be legalistic. What is it that works for you? Well, things like, you know, maybe as you start your day, it's reading his word, or listening to worship music, or even just praying, as my brother apparently started a couple of years ago. Before he even gets out of bed, he says, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill me." Another time to spend time with God is at the end of the day. The Jesuits have a practice called the daily examen, and it's giving thanks for the day, renewing all the events that happened and where you saw God at work, and then confessing where maybe you haven't followed him, and then committing the next day to him. And then think about the middle of the day. You know, maybe some kind of alarm to encourage you to just, okay, it's time to stop just for a minute. So you could follow as that passage in Psalms, you know, step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God. Getting your eyes off about all that you're doing, all that you're involved in, all you're worried about, and just stopping and praying. And even to do this for 1 minute makes a difference. Stop. Breathe. It's a song we were just singing. Pray and sit before God in silence. Cesaro mentions how he knows one lady whose midday office is just walking outside, just being quiet, enjoying the beauty of God in nature. And maybe all you do is just stop and say, "Thank you, God." The issue is not what we do, but it's just getting to be with God. It's being still in his presence, tuning into him in our midst. It's creating a rhythm in our life that helps orient us to God, recentering our lives around his love, receiving his life and the strength that he's offering us. We live in an environment that's not unlike what Daniel lived in, a world that's focused on secularism, jealousy, hate, immorality, divisions of all sorts. And the pressures of life weigh heavily on us, to rise above these pressures, knowing God's presence and his power in our midst. It is helpful for us to establish these kind of rhythms. Being still and stopping long enough to create space for God to enter. We're not going to have a full content life without a deep connection to the living God. It doesn't mean that we'll live without difficulty, but that in the midst of the difficulty, we can experience a connection with him. If we are always on the go, mentally or physically, he kind of gets pushed to the edges of our lives. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Establishing these rhythms helps us remain in him.